Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to Extra Shot, a weekly pod spinning the funniest stories in sport. My name's Jack Ribbon. I'm joined, as ever, by Zach Sweeney Lynch.
Hello, Jack.
Hello. And joining us today, returning guest, Mickey Down.
Hello, guys.
Hello. We got you in the house because we're also recording Dennis Rodman.
You about to say OJ Simpson, weren't you?
No, we've just released OJ Simpson.
We all look alike.
I honestly wasn't about to say. We released OJ Simpson today, so it is on my mind because we had an emergency call with Roche yesterday. But you are here to discuss Dennis Rodman. But first, we'll talk about stories this week. We've actually already had a letter about our OJ episode, fortunately not saying that it was in poor taste.
Just from his lawyers.
from his estate.
Yeah.
No, we've had a letter from Joel Butcher, who he picked up. We mentioned that OJ was beaten as a youngster in a 100-meter race by none other than Sir Mingus Campbell, former Lib Dem leader. And Joel shed a bit more light on this. He said that Mingus in his later years was Chancellor of the University of St. Andrews, from which I graduated. And at the graduation ceremony, he told some stories, including the story of his race against OJ. And this apparently is what Mingus Campbell said. He said, back in 1967, I ran 100 metres in 10.2 seconds and was known as the fastest white man on the planet. I'm delighted to have won and was told about an up-and-coming runner in the race by the name of OJ Simpson. Little did I know at the time how lucky I had got to beat him without feeling any consequences.
Jeez.
In a graduation speech.
I bet that went down well, though.
Do you think everyone was like, whoa?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, yeah.
It takes a minute to catch on to what he said.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it took me a second.
Did I say it wrong? No, normally it's like J.K. Rowling being like, follow your dreams. Yeah. Steve Jobs being like, fail fast.
I think he left enough reasonable doubt in there to cover it back.
Anyway, thanks, Joel, for that. It's a lovely update. And actually, a couple more updates on recent pods.
I was quite sad that OJ died.
Oh, sorry, let's talk OJ.
Just because I'm going to a wedding. I told you this, I'm going to a wedding in New York from an American footballer who was acquainted with him. And there was rumours that he was going to be there. So when that OJ was going to be there... So that when he died, my first thought was like, fuck, I'm never going to meet him.
That's ruined my day.
It's ruined my trip. I might not even bother going.
Is this JJ?
JJ, yeah.
Oh, he's getting married. Congrats.
He's getting married, yeah.
Why was OJ? Are they mates?
They have met, and JJ said that I think they're acquainted. JJ spends a lot of time in Miami since his retirement at the age of 34. And OJ spends a lot of time there as well. And he said that they were introduced at a dinner, and OJ was surrounded by 10 white women. I was like, have they not learned?
Blonde. Yeah. That's kind of his flex, though, isn't it? Like, we talked on the pod about he had a prank show called Juiced, which was punked, but you got juiced.
Yeah.
And the opening sequence is him.
Your head cut off.
Nearly decapitated by your boyfriend. He in the opening sequence, he's just surrounded by topless blondes.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's, he obviously had a type.
Yeah.
Jay just said that, he shook his hand, and the first thought, he looked down at the hand, and he was like, this hand is... committed a murder.
Yeah, but he still shook
it. Yeah, and then they had dinner.
A very fast murderer.
Yeah.
You know that Dave Chappelle bit where he says, how can you shake that murderer's hand? He says, madam, with all due respect, that murderer ran 11,000 yards. had a couple more letters about recent pods. So we did John Daly last week, the rootin' tootin' bad boy of golf. Mm. I told a story in that, apparently, that John Daly said he used to walk to the green and there'd be women there whipping off their underwear. And I said they were lashing him with their underwear. And we were quite confused. about what was going on. Mark has written in pointing out that I misread the quote and they were actually flashing him, which does make a lot more sense. And finally, one more bit of contact from, we had a lot of listeners write in to inform us that the Berghain piss goblin is not dead. He is in fact alive and well, still drinking piss. And apparently he's a solicitor called Rene.
I just don't believe that.
What, you think he's dead?
We were texting about this, weren't we? I mean, I don't think he's dead. I don't think he's a solicitor. Yeah. I can definitely believe he's dead. But I don't believe he's a solicitor called Rene.
Yeah.
Who knows that? Who ran in with that?
Several people mentioned
it. It's Rene himself.
Yeah, Rene, the goblin.
Signed R.
I don't know. I feel like he would just have a really mundane job.
Yeah, he would actually.
Can you imagine going for the meeting?
Imagine now, there's somebody out there who's got a solicitor called Rene in Berlin.
Yeah,
he's just suddenly like, wait, hold on, Rene?
This is your solicitor, the Berghain piss goblin.
If he was your divorce lawyer and he walked in, you'd be like, fuck, I'm going to give her everything.
I was talking to Rasheen about it and she said, yeah, he'd just be like, tea, coffee, piss?
Please.
The name Rene does fit the Dutch accent that is.
Who wrote in this?
A lot of people said he was called Rene, I think.
Okay, fine.
I can't really remember. We've had a lot of letters about the piss goblin.
Yeah. More than any.
More than we usually. Yeah.
That's the demo of this podcast, though, isn't it?
People know about piss goblins. Anyway, keep the letters coming. We've enjoyed them. Let's talk about some actual news then. I'll use the term loosely. Yeah. Neymar.
What war are we going to talk about? What many of the many wars that are going on are we going to talk about?
We're going to go a little bit more lowbrow than that. Okay. Neymar. Neymar never had the most orthodox family. You know, his contract for his transfer to Barcelona had a clause in it that meant that his dad could have an orgy at a London hotel paid for by the transfer fee. And his mum famously had their chaotic fling with Neymar's 22-year-old friend.
Why does that need to be in the contract, the orgy?
To make sure you get it.
But if the money's coming.
You're familiar with contract law.
If the money's coming, Rene has worked on that one. if the money's coming at the transfer fee anyway, why do they need to specify what it's being paid for? You don't say, I'm going to buy like a pint of milk.
No, his dad said that I don't know if it was technically a written in clause. You've scrutinised this one. His dad said, Neymar isn't signing until I get my orgy in a London hotel. And then he got it. Santos were the ones who had to pay for it, who was receiving the fee.
I see.
Because they got like 100 mil or something, didn't they? Anyway, safe to say that's quite an unorthodox set of parents.
Very.
And, you know, it looks like some of that style might have rubbed off on Neymar himself. So a video popped up last week of Neymar at his daughter's birthday party. And it's quite a charming scene. I'll play it for you, actually.
That's like us during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. Also, this is the girlfriend that he's only recently broken up with, right?
Yeah, so I guess she knows what to expect.
Yeah, but do you think she sort of explained to the daughter, like, you know, daddy's going to be coming around today, like he's here for your special day.
Yeah, I should warn you, he is a lowlife with a poker addiction. Yeah, I mean, it's quite a rare appearance for him in front of his ex-girlfriend, Bruna, probably. He is very into his online poker. He lost $1 million on a live streamed game, I think, during the pandemic, which puts loss in.
Yeah, exactly.
Me and Mickey had a nasty blackjack loss during the pandemic.
It wasn't blackjack, it was roulette.
Oh, it was roulette. Mickey was a subscriber to the theory that if you lose, you just double your bet. But we lost 8 times in a row. we hit our max budget.
We hit our max budget, but we would have, if we had been able to bet again, I think we would have won.
It was me, Mickey, and one friend, and the one friend, it basically kind of ended his marriage.
Yeah.
Is that funny?
Was this just on, were you going red or black?
Black.
We should have gone red.
But yeah. I've been doing little bits here and there. And I was up like 1,400 quid. And then I was like, look, it's free money. And I showed you guys. And I said, we won like, in the space of 5 minutes, we won like 180 quid. And I was like, and then we should have stopped.
Yeah, and then we went down hard. It's known as the Martingale fallacy. It doesn't work.
It only works if you've got infinite funds.
Yeah, but it came but black came up in Monaco, something like
red
came up something like 40 times in a row, and to carry on you would have had to bet $1 billion.
Yeah,
like that's how, so even the richest people in the world can get fucked. You'd be like selling shares as a billionaire.
You can't put $1 billion on a table of roulette.
Apparently people were flying into the casino to play. Neymar also has a gambling issue. And there was another time where Kylian Mbappe, who was PSG captain, told his, he gave like this big team talk telling the players to eat well and sleep well after a game. And Neymar just that night posted a selfie of himself at a poker tournament with like daylight coming through the curtains. Yeah, pretty grim world. No one seems to mind at the kid's birthday party though. Like his ex-girlfriend.
Well, he's like, you know, he's still there, I guess, in spirit.
Sort of phoning in the
in
father.
In spirit, he's at the casino, but yeah. He's there in person.
Yeah, and I guess that ex-girlfriend, as you said, Zach, she's kind of used to Neymar doing whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think she's probably just happy that he showed up.
When they were going out, they had an understanding, him and Bruna. This was apparently an open secret in Brazilian football circles, that he could sleep with whoever he wanted, provided he obeyed three key rules, which are, one, always wear a condom.
Mm-hmm. You broke that one.
Two, no prostitutes or strippers. Probably broke that one. And three, no kissing them on the mouth.
Which, that contract isn't worth the papers printed on.
Yeah, so not a huge shock that they broke up.
I just thought that the no prostitutes, in a way, is it not better that they're prostitutes? It's less
it's transactional.
It's transactional rather than emotional.
Mate, I think it's probably linked to the first one about the condom.
What, venereal disease?
Yeah, not
risk.
To denigrate who he was sleeping with.
Yeah, but, don't slut shame. Yeah. Not
at all. I never would. But yeah, I think it's probably too bad, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, that's a birthday to remember for his daughter, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, his daughter's wedding, I wrote down. His daughter's birthday wasn't the only thing that Neymar missed last week. So he was also out injured as his club side, Al Hilal, beat Al Ittihad in the Saudi Cup final. They won 4-1. Much like his daughter's birthday, though, Neymar did show up to the event but didn't really contribute much. So he actually posted on Instagram afterwards saying, just like in school, your group does the work and you collect the grade.
Right. Comes in 10 minutes before the school starts, copies everyone homework.
Yeah, it bullies someone into doing his work for him.
It was a funny moment for the final whistle. So Al Hilal are like celebrating on the pitch and Abdelrazak Hamdala, who's one of the Al Ittihad players, gets into an argument with a fan in the stands and he squirts water at this guy and the guy just pulls out a whip and starts whipping him. Got a clip of it.
Jeez.
He's got the fucking cat o' nine tails.
How allowed him, who knows, like, who let him get a take a whip into a football stadium?
Also, that is kind of conforming to the stereotype of the Saudi that they're like flogging people.
Yeah. I mean, it did make me wonder though, have we not given Saudi fans enough credit for how rough they are?
How rowdy they are.
It's mostly them just chanting Messi at Ronaldo, isn't it?
Yeah. I thought they were kind of energy drink swillers who are like, yeah, posting TikTok videos mocking Ronaldo, but this is a bit more Old Testament, isn't it? It's like a proper long
whip.
Yeah.
Why do you think that guy owns that whip?
For moments like this.
Yeah, exactly. To beat football players.
Because he's an ultra.
Yeah. I guess maybe a whip is quite easy to get past security. You just sort of strap it to your leg.
Is he in any trouble or is it like, is that considered sort of fair game in the Saudi league?
Is he watching?
Is the fan in trouble? You know, like in the UK, if you like
took a whip out of him,
if you flogged one of the opposition players, you might get banned for a time.
I don't know. The Saudi league did say that they were going to be clamping down on
flogging.
Rowdy behaviour, flogging. Yeah,
love it.
Do it to your migrant workers. That's fine.
Yeah, and your pet tiger.
Hands off our overpaid superstars. Speaking of ailing legends and their retirement tours. Lionel Messi's time in Miami has been pretty tame so far. The most dangerous thing that he's faced is probably a half-eaten corn dog lobbed at him or a obese bloke with a foam finger chanting, "Ref, you suck!" But that all changed when the scary school from up the road, aka Mexican side Monterrey, rocked up in Miami for their CONCACAF Champions Cup quarterfinal last week. So Miami lost the first leg 2-1 at home, and after the game, all hell broke loose in the tunnel. So Messi, Suarez, Alba and Tata Martino, the Miami manager, got into a pretty heated confrontation with the Monterrey staff.
Like the coaches?
The coaches, yeah. There was a leaked audio from one of the Monterrey coaches afterwards who talking about Messi and he said, "The dwarf was possessed. He had the face of the devil. He put his fist next to my face and says, "Who do you think you are?"
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Messi always gets dwarf jive. He is really small.
He's short, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
he's the most famous footballer.
Yeah, no, yeah, he's, exactly. He's kind of well known, isn't he? We all know he's short.
Guy? But I remember Real Madrid, Barcelona, loads of the one of the staff members got recorded referring to him as a hormone dwarf.
I think it was Laporta. It was the Barca president, yeah. I think, after they sold him.
Yeah, it's no way to treat a club legend.
No.
Hormone dwarf.
So it's good to see Messi getting...
What does that mean, hormone dwarf?
Because when he was younger, he was given growth hormones because he was so small.
Oh, really?
It's weird that I know that. I didn't know.
Yeah, you didn't know he was small, but you know he was given growth hormone. But it didn't work.
Well, it stopped him being...
Or would he be really short?
Well, I don't know. It enabled him to be the greatest footballer of all time. Yeah.
So he took drugs to become good at a sport?
Legal drugs, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think he had his knees were really underdeveloped or something. I can't remember. Carry on.
They are kind of steroids, though, in a way, right?
Yeah, I don't know if they are, literally.
Formers. Yeah, I don't know.
There's a lot of controversy around it because he was with the Barcelona Academy from such a young age. There are people that believe that he was effectively like... this lab experiment try and make him...
He was like Mewtwo.
Well, I don't hear that very often, a Mewtwo. What, the Pokemon?
Yeah.
Was he a lab experiment?
My daughter's watching it at the moment.
Oh, right. Is that what happens with Mewtwo?
Yeah, Mewtwo in the first Pokemon movie is like a lab experiment.
Oh, I didn't know that. Pokemon. He's the cat, isn't he?
Mouse.
Mewtwo was
like a muse. Like Mew was a bit of a mouse and then a bit of a mouse.
And he evolved.
It doesn't matter.
Save it for your Pokemon pod. Yeah. Carry on.
The second leg was just as spicy. So Luis Suarez, who knows a few dirty tricks himself, got one of the Monterrey players in this sort of like wrestling arm lock and pulled him to the floor. The guy looked like he was in a lot of pain. And at the final whistle, there was a big fight in the stands between the Monterrey and Miami fans. When I say Miami fans, I always look at pictures of them as I'm pretty sure you're just a Messi fan.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah, or they're just actors.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah. like every, yeah, they just like paid actors.
Quite Matt Letizier observation. Didn't he say the people in COVID, like the dying COVID patients, were paid actors?
Yeah, that's slightly different. Yeah, <Jack.
laughs> I think the Messi fans are just, they're just glory hunting. They did have some fans before, didn't they?
They must have.
In the Fort Lauderdale area.
Stadiums, only.
Like we've got a couple of listeners who have been in touch before who are bona fide
into Miami fans.
Pink.
Yeah.
They're there for DeAndre Yedlin.
Do you think if he left, then people would, if he went to another...
Would it be sold out?
Would his fans just leave?
Yeah, I think a lot
of them
would.
They literally did mid-match. That great clip from one of his first games there where Messi got subbed off quite early on. He got injured. And you just saw the fans like streaming out of the exit.
But American sports, like, I mean, they have less loyalty, do they? Because, I mean, maybe not less loyalty, but the fact that like a team can just change geographic location and become a new team and leave all of its fans probably in general.
Whereas when that happened with Wimbledon and MK Dons,
everyone went crazy. Whereas that happens all the time. The Oakland no longer have a team for anything.
Yeah, because so they're not the A's, the baseball team.
No, that's Moneyball. Like, that's dying at the moment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then you meet American fans who are pretty diehard. I think the phenomenon of supporting a player is more like a generational thing, isn't it? Probably, big in India. Mm. In Indian cricket, they just support the players.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Where were we?
Anyway, that wasn't the biggest drama that Monterrey faced in the past week, because on Sunday, that wasn't the biggest drama that Monterrey faced this week, though, because on Sunday they had their derby against hated crosstown rivals Tigres. And after the game, they've accused Nahuel Guzman, who's the Tigres' first choice keeper, but he was injured for this game, so he was up in the stands, and they've accused him of shining a laser into their goalkeeper's eyes during the match. So there's a clip of him up in the hospitality boxes with a laser.
He's holding a laser pointer. Yeah.
Why don't people do that more?
It seems to be happening a lot for shootouts.
Yeah.
There was an Egypt... What was that game recently? Was that AFCON?
AFCON games. Yeah,
yeah, there was a game when that was happening.
Do you think it's easy to find the person that's doing that?
It's always possible, unless you're...
Unless
you have an incredibly recognisable physique.
Or you're dressed like Where's Wally.
And you're sat in the...
You're in the hospital.
In the player's box.
Yeah, you're the manager.
This is the clip.
That's him.
It's like a lightsaber.
Yeah.
It does work as well. If you get a laser in your eye. Yeah.
They did, do you remember...
So bait.
Like, if that happened at the World Cup final in a shootout...
It happened at the Euro semi-final last time. England fan shined it in Kasper Schmeichel's eyes.
Did we? Oh, yeah, because we had a late penalty, didn't we? That's how we won.
Yeah.
So England have benefits from that. Laser pointers.
Carry on.
They really make me think of school trips to, like, Calais.
Yeah, but also there was a lot of fear-mongering around them.
Yeah,
if it goes your eyes, you're blind
immediately. Yeah. And bangers and BB guns as well.
Yeah.
BB gun probably also quite effective in a penalty shootout. Yeah.
I wouldn't put that past Nahual Guzman, this keeper, because he's got a bit of a track record of it. Did you see the video last year, I think it was, where he was, during a penalty shootout, he pulled a load of silly string out of his mouth while the guy was preparing to take his
How does
kick.
That help?
Just to freak him out.
Just to distract him, yeah.
Just a bit of theatre, a bit of cabaret. Yeah.
There was another one he was like going along his goal line pretending to be a mime.
So we're in like whoopee cushion territory.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a prankster.
Yeah.
There's another one. It's not the time though, is it? Just as this guy was preparing to take a penalty, he was walking along the goal line pretending it was a trapeze.
Oh, so he does literally always do these tricks.
Yeah. He got sent off last season, I think, as well, and just hid under a tarpaulin beside the pitch watching the match.
I feel like the laser pointer is quite a big escalation from walking a trapeze, which is, you know, basic.
You know how the goalkeepers union would take that one.
Starts with a bit of hopscotch in the 6-yard box and suddenly he's like throwing acid in their faces. There is a line, Nahuel. Speaking of people who don't know where the line is, have you guys been following Joey Barton's heel turn much?
Yeah, a little bit on Twitter.
Yeah, I try not to get too much of the poison in my veins.
It's a bit annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is attention-seeking. But he basically lives by the law of the playground, right? He's, like, picking on 17-year-old girls, calling his enemies nonces. It's, like, you know, real childish stuff.
And what's he up to other than that?
I think he's trying to promote a podcast.
Oh, okay.
And
God.
Just spreading a bit of hatred across the world, trying to stop women playing sport.
Yeah.
But I thought... You know, this is probably just a media persona to promote the podcast. I think a lot of people think that, but it sounds like he does really live by these rules all the time. So Barton was until recently the manager of Bristol Rovers, and the club's former head of recruitment has come out describing his first encounter with Joey when he was manager. And this head of recruitment, who was only 23, you know, sort of quiet guy with a laptop, he's sort of picked out some interesting data on his spreadsheets. And then he describes a moment where Barton walked into the room and he said, he just picked up a football in the room, pointed at me in front of all the staff and said, "Oi, you, come outside now and give me 50 keepy-ups or I don't ever want to see you again." I sort of laughed it off to begin with, but he said he was serious. Obviously, I didn't do 50 keepy-ups.
Not his job.
Yeah, exactly. He's a data.
Also, just picturing this guy as, he's 23 years old. He's probably just out of uni. He was sort of a football manager enthusiast who's now got a job in recruitment at Bristol Rovers. And
it's his big break.
Yeah,
and he's probably got some really novel ideas. Yeah. And then
he thought he was coming into Moneyball.
Yeah,
exactly. He's going to do keepy-ups.
Yeah, and Barton's pretty famous. You'd be quite excited, and then he just terrorises you. Sounds like Barton's the sort of guy who, like, basically thinks your ability to do keepy-ups is your measure of moral worth. Like, that's how the Prime Minister should be decided. Definitely hates virgins as well for similar reasons. It's actually a bit of a change from when he was manager at Bristol Rovers. His outward perception was that he was trying to project this, like, sunny vibe. So there was a photo that did the rounds where it was a photograph of his tactics board from halftime of a game. And it was quite surprising. There were like some sort of uplifting slogans written on it, like, "Be brave, you're unique, a one-off, a true superstar," and smiley faces and stuff, which felt a bit incongruous with Joey Barton at the time. It also had one of my favourite bits of tactical advice. It said, "Goal mouth action," and then brackets, "None in ours," brackets, "Loads in theirs." It's like, Joey Barton always has a go at people for not having enough football experience. You need all this experience to understand the game. But if his tactical instructions are just, do loads of goal mouth action, like, do you need it?
He has distilled it down, though. The other slogan, it sounds like he's just been to some sort of motivational speaker What,
the true superstar stuff?
Yeah.
I think it's even sub that. It's like something written on a pencil case or something. It's,
in what circumstances did he leave?
He was sacked.
Didn't he assault another manager in the tunnel?
In his previous job, he was acquitted in court, but he was accused of assaulting another manager, but that was at Fleetwood Town. At Bristol Rovers, he humiliated a young member of the team. Do you remember? He went in a post-match interview and just absolutely humiliated the bloke, and then he was sacked soon after. He's a horrible
nice guy.
He had a run-in with Stevenage boss Steve Evans as well. Do you remember? He labelled him a fat man post-game, which I think was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right, yeah. It's just playground stuff.
Mm. Oh, he's a div.
Yeah.
How old is he?
Joey Barton.
Yeah.
Early 40s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Leave that there.
Yeah. It's just weird that 10 years ago, The Guardian were doing think pieces about him. Yeah.
They were doing think pieces of anyone, weren't they?
Yeah.
Ralph Russell Brand, anyone?
Who's laughing now?
Yeah. They were doing books about publishing Arctic Monkeys lyrics as if they were poetry. Do you remember that?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, like, my God. That's so cringe. I probably bought one.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Supposedly, in football fans don't normally have much to get excited about. So when the nation's diabetic futsal team went on a remarkable winning streak, they became the darlings of the nation. So between 2016 and 2019, they won 3 diabetic European championships.
In futsal?
In futsal.
So not football.
So it's like 5-a-side.
Oh, yeah, with the small ball.
Yeah.
Indoor, diabetic?
Indoor.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing?
It's a lot of qualifiers. And they were diabetic.
They got like an insulin problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly, yeah. One or two.
Yeah, I thought there was a synonym for something else.
Like what?
I don't know.
Diabetic futsal. Yeah, I guess it is.
It's like athletic. It's like you need.
Genuinely, they were.
Like Dynamo.
Yeah, exactly. Like Dynamo. Like a Diabetico Madrid.
They actually should get a name like that.
Yeah. Insulin Milan. Yeah. Anyway, so they won these three diabetic European championships, but soon after, suspicions began to emerge that all was not as it seemed. So the other teams had noticed that the Bosnian players had suspiciously high, consistently high energy levels during matches, and also their team meals afterwards. Nobody was checking their blood sugar levels, which obviously you've got to do if you're diabetic. And they did a bit of background checks on their medical records, and it turned out that 4 of the team's star players, bear in mind this is 5-a-side, 4 of them developed diabetes just before national team selection. So it turned out that a crooked team doctor had falsified their medical records to say that they had either type 1 or type 2 diabetes. One of the players said that he was given a fake insulin pen and told to pretend to inject it
What, so just like look meals. Like you are?
Yeah, so he basically, or maybe it wasn't a fake one, but he was given an insulin pen and told to not take the cap off and pretend that he was injecting himself.
That is crazy. Like, is that not to denigrate the Diabetic League, but is it that prestigious that you would want to go to that lengths, those lengths to con
yeah,
it?
How, what's the,
what's
do,
the
do
point?
You get the,
what's
do
the
you
point?
Get the, do you get the warm glow of victory afterwards? When you
there might be a monetary reward.
It must be, because otherwise it's like, oh great, you can tell your family, but they'd just be like, but you're not diabetic.
Yeah, I'm the captain of the diabetic football team. It's like, Sal, okay. Is there something you're not telling? This is not even football, is it? Futsal. Yeah.
One of the players was like, I just wanted to represent my nation.
In any context. Yeah. Come what may.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised so many of them felt that there was any point in doing that. But it's a bit like, do you remember this, the allegation that Iran, in a women's football tournament, they disguised loads of men as female players? And again, it's like, what's the point? Who are they going to tell that they won that?
Yeah. Also, is that true?
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably just some horrible smell. It's horrible, really rumor, yeah. A woman with thick eyebrows. Yeah. Yeah, possibly not. So have they been stripped of their titles?
I think so. I assume so.
Is this a doping scandal? No. It's kind of.
Sort of
inverse. Just you're supposed to be doping and you're not.
Yeah.
If they get a diabetes later in their life, can they get a title back? Yeah.
Could you develop type 2 diabetes because it's diet-based, isn't it?
Yeah,
you
work that's really what I thought you were going to say, though. Like, they developed it before, and like, they were just given a huge shot of insulin, and they actually now have diabetes. Yeah, so it wasn't worth it.
It's a bit like the enhanced games.
We do have the European title. You'll never sing that, diabetic futsal champions. Who is the beneficiary of this? Is there another nation? Who are the, like, Brazil of diabetic futsal?
I don't know.
Surely you know the answer to that question.
I haven't actually been along to the tournament.
I don't even know what futsal is.
Do you know players? Like, it's school. It's just like tiny ball.
Like halls.
It's supposed.
I thought it was just football with a small ball.
Yeah, but like, it's called futsal. It's supposedly why everyone
was it called futsal
skill.
When we were. Oh yeah, no,
so skillful.
Yeah,
because they use really small ball.
I've seen like videos of Ronaldinho.
Yeah, it's that.
But like weighted ball, isn't it?
It's it's heavy. Yeah. It doesn't bounce really.
Yeah, it's the one.
I think it is a Brazilian invention.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, not the diabetic variety. Yeah. That's Bosnia's thing.
How many other teams?
It's also
who end his teams to that.
Yeah. Oh, I reckon most countries everyone. Probably have.
I think enough. So. So apparently, in the first championships, they came fourth, and I think they sort of realised that, well, we've got a pretty good team here.
If we can just swap all our players for non-diabetes sufferers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit like cheating for exams at school. It's like sometimes if you just put this effort into being good rather than the cheating, maybe it would have been easier. Right, guys. Nah, fuck it. Right, guys, I've got another example of club loyalty being taken to ridiculous extremes, this time from former West Ham star Paolo Di Canio. So Di Canio gave an interview last week. He said, I was in a Knightsbridge in London and needed a taxi, so I called one down. The driver said, where'd you need to go, mate? I told him where I needed to go, but he said, are you Di Canio? I said, yes. And he told me, I can't take you. I'm a Millwall fan. Enjoying the accents there?
Yeah, that was very good. Yeah.
And then actually Di Canio added, I said, meh, I wouldn't have enjoyed it anyway. So yeah, it seems, I don't know, it's a bit cut off your nose to spite your face, not picking up a passenger because of your club loyalty, but also
and denying yourself a pretty interesting chat probably.
Yeah, exactly. You could have met a really famous interesting footballer, but you support Millwall. And also, given that both Paolo Di Canio and your average black cab driver are somewhere to the right of Hermann Göring on the political spectrum, they've probably got quite uncommon. It was a kindred spirit. Di Canio was like walking around doing salutes. They could have been sort of bonding over Mussolini's distaste for cycle lanes, slagging off Greta Thunberg.
Yeah, it's
like Super Mario, your impression.
Is that a good thing? Right. I think that's all we've got time for. Thanks a lot, Mickey, for joining us.
Pleasure, guys.
Looking forward to discussing Dennis Rodman with you shortly, which will be released actually quite far in the future, I think. So don't get too excited if you're listening. If you are listening, you can tuck into our slightly different and serious but gripping and farcical OJ Simpson episode, which is out now. Mm. And next week we've got a special on marathon madness, which that's quite a treat. Isn't
that sounds
it,
interesting.
Fuck off. Zach, do you want to
the most boring thing ever.
It's actually fucking mental.
Guys, yeah, skip that one. Because I definitely will be.
No, it's not. Right, so next week we've got a special on the 1904 Olympic marathon where competitors were fed rat poison. They were forced to dehydrate. They flogged false starters.
I think we did tease this last week. We said we were going to release it on Tuesday and then OJ,
and no one can be bothered to do it.
OJ died.
OJ died. OJ died, so we had to do an emergency. But.
Yeah, so it will be out this week, and it is. I actually, an episode I've in my top three. Probably.
I would say so too, yeah.
Really good fun. Wow. So fuck off, Mickey.
Bigging him up. Okay. I'll eat my hat.
If you listen.
And my running shoes.
All right, and thanks, Zach.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.